All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. I'm speaking to you from New York City, the borough of Queens. It is the 19th day of April, 2022. I want to thank each of you for listening to the show, making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. And I also want to invite you to keep your questions and comments coming to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. I also want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. Our sponsors for today's show, are Irving Resources, Noble Resources, El Oro Resources, Timberline Resources, Lion One Metals, SK Mining, and Reyna Gold Corp. But I also should note that we do have a new sponsor today. It's Core Assets Corp. And next Tuesday, actually, geologist Nick Rodway, who is the president and CEO of Core Assets, will be with me to tell that company's story. Very exciting story, a gold, silver, and base metals exploration project in British Columbia. In addition to Core Assets, the sponsors, those are the sponsors for this week, and Nick will be with us next week. I titled today's show, A Petrol Ruble Now Competes with the Petrodollar. Ellen Brown and Quentin Henning are this week's guests. By design, Americans are kept in the dark about money, actually, what money is. We are taught nothing in our classrooms about what it is, how it is created. That is by design because, as Henry Ford once observed, it is well enough that people of the nations do not understand our banking and monetary system, for if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning, end of quote. Actually, prior to the presidency of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, money was less mysterious to Americans than it is now because the paper money you carried in your pocket could be exchanged for ounces of gold. Paper was simply a note representing your ownership of a tangible asset, namely gold, or in the United States, silver as well. But the concept of what money actually is became less clear in the minds of Americans starting in 1932, because that's when President Roosevelt confiscated privately owned gold from American citizens in exchange for unredeemable dollar notes. Americans who did not turn in their gold were threatened with 10 years in jail and a $10,000 fine. That was a lot of money in 1932, for sure. From that point on, the paper that Americans carried around in their wallets no longer had any tangible value. Instead, when you make deposits in a bank now, as it was the case then, you're essentially making an unsecured loan to the bank. And if the bank can't repay you, well, that's just your bad luck. Money became even more removed from tangible reality when President Nixon removed gold from the dollar for international trade on August 15, 1971. Without any anchor to the dollar, the Nixon administration arranged a deal with the royal family of Saudi Arabia to form OPEC and demand that all oil sold by OPEC be paid for you in U.S. dollars, thereby creating a constant and very strong bid for dollars. That gave the dollar market value, but from that point on, anyone in the world holding dollars could not exchange that piece of paper for a monetary asset with intrinsic value. You could then, and still can now, exchange, of course, your dollars for gold and silver, but those monetary metals are not allowed to compete with the dollar as money. Regarding the international dollar system created by Nixon in 1971, that was a petrodollar system enforced by the United States military and was part of the deal to guarantee the royal family of Saudi Arabia that it would remain in power and also to make sure foreign nations could only use dollars to buy oil on the international markets. Thus, starting with President Roosevelt in 1932 and then President Nixon in 1971, what was once a very solid non-inflationary dollar backed by gold was turned into a highly inflationary dollar that gained its reserve status only because the United States and its military might force the rest of the world to use dollars to buy oil in the international markets. Soon the dollar was used for nearly all kinds of international trade, making it the dominant global reserve currency. With its reserve status established, the United States created endless trillions of dollars out of thin air, which it has used to fund the greatest military in the world has ever seen, and to enforce dollar hegemony, expand its empire, and in the process usher in numerous regime changes. Understandably, nations like Russia and China, to name just two, have not been happy about America's modus operandi. The war in the Ukraine is what may be the start of a major resistance to America's dollar hegemony and global dominance. So we are now seeing some resistance by Russia with the backing of China to do exactly what the United States did, to create value for the dollar. But namely, in this case, the U.S. used hydrocarbons to create intrinsic value for the dollar, and that is clearly what Russia is doing now, demanding any sale to unfriendly nations be made in rubles. That aspect of the Russian war in the Ukraine is certainly not something that you hear too much about in the American media, but I believe it is a major part of the Russian strategy in the war it is waging in the Ukraine. Moreover, it is one that is in response to sanctions that NATO has launched against Russia and which may well be counterproductive to the well-being of America and NATO in the long run. That remains to be seen, of course. Well, Ellen Brown will be with me in the second half of today's show to talk about her recent essay titled The Coming Global Financial Revolution, Russia is Following the American Playbook. We will want to ask her to take on to get her take on how Russia's requirements starting by the end of this month to require unfriendly countries to buy oil and gas from Russia in rubles might impact other markets, and whether she sees this move by Russia setting the stage for a significant change in the global monetary system. What will the Europeans do? Will they submit to Putin in an effort to stay warm and keep the wheels of industry turning, or will they submit to the demands of the United States? Those are some of the questions we want to take up with Ellen Brown. In the second segment of today's show, Dr. Quentin Henning is here to update us on Lion One Metals. That's a company that is making enormous progress not only towards gold production from its high-grade Tuvutu project in Fiji, but it is also demonstrating that the Tuvutu is a much larger high-grade deposit than initially envisioned. In fact, it was Dr. Henning himself who was at least partly responsible for the discovery of that much larger potential for the Tuvutu project. In fact, Dr. Henning is knowledgeable about most of the sponsors on this show, which is why I am very pleased to learn that he could be with us right now, actually, to just give us a little bit of an update on some of the companies that are sponsors of this show. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Henning.
Always a pleasure, Jay.
It's really good to have you. A number of companies that are sponsors of this show and from time to time our listeners hear about. Probably the one that we get most questions about these days are Novo Resources. That's a company that you are the non-executive co-chairman of right now. You had been involved with the exploration and development of that company. Company has run into some difficulties transitioning from exploration to production. That's nothing new in this industry for sure. But I don't know if there's anything you could tell our listeners about the prospects for Novo going forward at this stage.
Yeah, look, in brief, we've announced the sale of our block of newfound shares. This is 15 million shares to Eric Sprott. That was announced last week. We also announced some management changes. Look, the company is going through a transition right now. This money will be used to pay the debt, as was indicated in the news release that came out around it. So the company will be debt-free shortly. We're going to pay that back in August, actually, which helps avoid penalties and so forth. But it's a welcome result of this sale. But this also gives us lots of money to actually pursue some new opportunities. First and foremost, our exploration. So we can now focus more of our money and effort towards certain endeavors we've talked about, like mechanical sorting, our exploration efforts across many of our projects across the Pilbara, including around Nullagine, but also the area around Egina, where we have Hemi-type targets near De Grey. And we've also got ambitions to pursue the copper-nickel targets that we're seeing next to Azure. Azure just released a resource here recently. Mm-hmm. And we see that amongst many other targets across our tenure. We get about 12,500 square kilometers. So this money is welcome, but we also might pull some other rabbits out of our hat. So stay tuned.
Okay. And I'm just wondering, with regard to the mechanical sorting, which is something we've been talking about for some time, any idea when we might get some news on that?
It should be within the next month. It has gone slow, partly because of shortage of people. It boils down to a chronic shortage of personnel to oversee this. We are going to be hiring a new project manager for the mechanical sorting, and we do plan to go ahead and move that out to Karratha and execute two target areas that we're going to actually mine or excavate and use the mechanical sorter in the field starting mid this year. So stay tuned. That's a big, big push for us.
Yeah, it is a big push. I know that because of the nature, the nuggety nature of your deposit, it's deposits, I should say, very important. Well, what about El Loro Resources? This is a silver tin rich polymetallic discovery. It looks very, very large in Bolivia. What can you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, it really is an update. I mean, if you look at the most recent news that's come out, some fantastic results down at the south end of the Santa Barbara area. So that target area that they were initially planning to put a resource around is now growing. It's ever expanding. And they are drilling. They're stepping out southward towards the Porco area, which is really a huge leap. So, you know, the company has kind of set they pulled back from announcing a resource right away. They're going to go ahead and drill this area because the results are absolutely stupendous. And I think that's a good move. I think you're going to see lots more very long intercepts of mineralization over the next few months that will really wake people up to the fact that this is a world-class deposit.
You know, when we might expect a resource, it's been delayed for good reasons, but when we might expect it?
You know, I haven't actually talked to Bill and Oswaldo about exact timing, but I would imagine with the drilling they're doing now and the assay turnaround, it'll probably be latter part of this year, maybe early next year is my best guess.
All right. Irving Resources, you're a director and a technical advisor to that company. I should also say you're a technical advisor, I believe, with El Oro. Is that right?
Yes.
It's, and
all as well. Yeah.
And I believe all of these companies that we're talking about are also investments by Crescat Capital.
Look, Irving isn't yet, but
Irving isn't. Okay.
Yeah, it's because complicated with the Newmont structure, the placements, but there will be opportunity likely here soon. So, Irving is back in the saddle. We're drilling right now. We have ambitions to ramp up our drilling. The results that we saw from that buried center system underneath the area are very intriguing. Okay, and the first hole that we completed this year just hit an unbelievable number of veins, but it was probably about 130 meters in that hole in which there were just a multitude of veins. So we're quite excited by that. We're quite excited to see the assays come back from that, but we are still drilling there. So we anticipate drilling pretty much continuously at Omu for the next, for the remainder of this year. We also hope to gear up work down at Yamagano later this year too. So things are starting to come around. Things are opening up. It's all looking very good.
Yeah, I mean, the company is $69 million market cap earlier today, and the stock has been behaving nicely in the last couple of weeks. I guess that reflects the renewed drilling and so forth. So, and those drill results that you just mentioned. Just with another minute or two left here, Timberline Resources is, of course, we've had your colleague Patrick Highsmith on the show to talk about it in the past. You two work together at Newmont. What are your thoughts about Timberline?
Okay, look, they've had two amazing drill holes here recently in the water well zone. The water well is just down dip from the Lookout Mountain resource. And the results from these two holes, they're about 400 meters apart, I believe. The results are very, very encouraging. You know, 30, 40-meter intercepts of around 5 or 6 grams. And within that, there's some higher-grade intervals. There's, you know, 10, 12 meters of 9 or 10 grams in some of these. So to me, it looks like they're into a major trouble that not, you know, at this point.
All right. I guess, okay. Just one more real quickly. I'm having a lot of electrical interference in my ear. I'm having trouble hearing here. But Core Assets is a new sponsor to this show. I know it's something new that that Crescat has recently picked up on. What can you tell our listeners about Core Assets?
Yeah, Core Assets is in BC. It's actually north of the Golden Triangle. It's in an area where there's some porphyry systems that are quickly being recognized as potentially world-class, like Brixton, which is at the north end of the Golden Triangle, has made a significant porphyry discovery at Camp Creek. But I think these guys at Core Assets are onto a brand new one that nobody's recognized. And the CRD system, this is a carbonate replacement system, that surrounds the porphyry, is proving to be exceptionally big. It's about 6 kilometers or so across. Very high grade, very good grades of lead, zinc, and silver. They're going to be targeting that this year. They're going to conduct their maiden drill program on this brand new target. Never been drilled. It's already looking very good. It's, you know, easily seen an outcrop because it's been exposed by the melting ice up there. I think this could be an absolute, you know, out of the park world class discovery for this year.
All right. Well, we'll be talking to Nick Rodway next week, and he'll give us an update from his perspective as well. Quinton, thank you very much. You're going to stay with us, I guess, for Lion One Metals, right? And sure. We would want to hear about that very exciting story when we come back from commercial break. So don't go away, folks. We'll be right back with Dr. Quinton Henning to talk about Lion One Metals.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Lion One Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barikoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQX, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.